I ask you please to turn with me, the Word of God, to the Gospel according to Mark. Mark's Gospel and the chapter 14. I should have said as well that with the folks from Spain being here next week, or the folks who were in Spain being here next Sunday night, we'll have the Lord's table next Sunday morning, rather than next Sunday night, as normally would have been the case, being the last Lord's Day. So we'll have it in the evening tonight and then next Sunday morning after the morning service. Mark's Gospel, chapter 14. We're turning to read the opening verses of this chapter together. And while it is familiar and a well-known story, yet let's pray that the Lord would speak to our hearts today as we come around His Word. Mark chapter 14. And the verse number 1. After 2 days was the feast of the Passover and of unleavened bread. And the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by craft and put him to death. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people. And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work in me, for ye have the poor with you always. And whensoever ye will, ye may do to them good, but me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. Amen. We'll end there at verse number 9. Let's pray the Lord will add a particular blessing to the reading of His Word. The little phrase at the end of verse number 4 will more or less form the basis of what we want to speak on this morning, speaking on the subject of what a waste. Chapter 14 in the verse 4, the question is asked concerning this box of ointment being poured on the head of Christ. Why was this waste of the ointment made? Why was this waste of the ointment made? With the Word of God open before us, can we just still our hearts, please, in a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, as we come now around Thy holy Word, we pray for Thy help. We ask, O God, that You'll take the Word, write it upon our hearts. And Lord, far beyond the voice of any man or any preacher, God, Lord, we long to hear Thy voice speaking to us. Therefore, O God, we pray that You'll empty us all of self now and fill us with the Holy Ghost, fill us with power, we pray. Lord, anoint our eyes today with the eye salve of the Holy Spirit, that we might behold wondrous things out of Thy law. So speak to us, speak through us, we pray. Speak to every heart, speak to this heart of mine. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. A few years back, there was a campaign launched by local governments across the land which sought to encourage us as a society to conserve more and not to throw away so much rubbish and so much waste. Rather, we were encouraged under the strapline to reduce, reuse, and recycle, reducing the amount of rubbish we threw away, reducing the amount of waste and trying to find new ways of using that waste again, all with the idea of trying to preserve and conserve the environment. Now, to say that I am a skeptic regarding environmental issues might be a little bit of an understatement, something we were speaking to the young people about while we were in Spain. While I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with trying to be more resourceful and try not to waste as much stuff, yet the notion that by our own efforts we can help God protect His own creation and this world that he made is totally contradictory to the teaching of Scripture. Because the Bible tells us that not only did God create this world, the Bible also tells us that God sustains and preserves this world that he created, and that he does not require the assistance of his creation in this recycling craze and seeking to help him maintain this world. The entire thinking and rationale of the Green Lobby has to do with waste and the elimination of waste. Well, it seems that the disciples of the Lord were, for a time as well, taken up with this whole idea of waste. They seem to be concerned with waste and with preservation rather than consecration. They were more concerned with waste than they were with worship, because in this passage of Scripture we see and we hear the rebuke that they issue to Mary. And we know it was Mary who used this expensive ointment to anoint the head of Christ, according to John's record of this same story in John chapter 12. But there is the rebuke of the actions of Mary in verse number 4. Why was this waste of the ointment made? What a waste. Oh, Mary, you shouldn't have used it all. You should have conserved it and held on to it. Such an ointment is very precious. Therefore, Mary, you shouldn't have been so careless. These disciples were a bit like Oscar Wilde's definition of a critic, who know the price of everything but the value of nothing. Mary, however, did not waste this precious substance on the Lord. Rather, the accounts that are recounted for us there in chapter 14 of Mark's Gospel are a sign of great devotion and love and compassion that this lady had for her Savior. These events all took place, as we're told in verse number 3, in Bethany, in the hometown of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. Took place in the home of Simon the leper. Could well have been a time of thanksgiving for how the Lord had healed Simon. But in the midst of it all, this lady, Mary, she takes this box of alabaster ointment and she breaks it and she pours it on the head of her Savior. Mary was not merely declaring her love for the Lord, as she often did, but in a very practical way, Mary was demonstrating her love by her actions, by her life, and by her affections. You see, here was a lady who loved the Lord with all of her heart, with all of her mind, with all of her soul. Her actions show a tenderness and a dedication to the Lord that she loved and served and followed. And as we look at these verses today in Mark's Gospel, chapter 14, I believe her actions serve as a great rebuke and a great challenge to us today. Because here we see one who didn't count the cost of following the Lord. Here we see one who didn't count the cost of worshiping the Savior. But rather we see here her power and her possessions and all lavished her love in the Savior. This act of devotion was met with discouragement, as Mary was accused of wasting her money and wasting her time, wasting her possessions in the Lord. What a waste. No. What an act of great devotion and love and service to the Lord. As we think of this devotion, some simple thoughts I want to leave with you today. I want you to see, first of all, with me here, the cost of this devotion. The cost of this devotion. It's interesting that often when we see Mary in the Scriptures, we often find her close to the Lord. In Luke chapter 10, she's at the feet of Christ, learning from him. In John chapter 11, she's at the feet of Christ, praying to him. And here in this account in Mark's Gospel, chapter 14, and in other accounts as well, in other Gospel records, she is now at the feet of Christ, worshipping him. You see, Mary's devotion to her Master could not be questioned. But this act of devotion is different because it cost Mary. Mary gave of what she had. It cost her as far as her possessions were concerned. As we think of this cost, notice that it was a substantial cost. This cost of devotion to Mary personally and financially was substantial. This box of ointment was very costly. In John's account, in John chapter 12, we're told that it cost around 300 pence. That was the value of this box of ointment that Mary used and anointed the head of Christ with. Commentators and church historians would suggest that the cost of this ointment would have been equal to an entire year's wage at that time. This ointment was very pricey. It was very precious. But you see, Mary didn't allow the cost to hold her back from her devotion and her dedication to the Lord. Mary didn't count the cost of her love for the Savior. Mary didn't sit down and work out how much it was going to cost her. I'm not only talking financially here, but as far as her possessions, but as well devotionally, how much it was going to cost her to serve the Master. She served him with all that she had. As we'll go on and see in a moment, what she had, she gave to the Lord. And she didn't hold back. She didn't sit down and do a profit and loss account and see if this was affordable. Rather, her faith led her to freely give to the Lord substantially. Mary gave her very best. When she took that box of ointment and anointed the Lord with it, she didn't give to the Lord something that was left over. She didn't give to the Lord that which she had used first of all and then gave the rest to him. She didn't give to the Lord some unwanted gift. She gave to the Lord her all. She gave to the Lord her very best. And she held nothing back. You see, there was nothing too much for Mary to give to the Lord. Oh, too often we try to hold back from giving to the Lord. And too often we give to the Lord that which is left. And too often we serve the Lord once we've taken care of our own needs. We've looked after ourselves. And our devotion can be meager and miserly rather than being substantial. You see, folks, you can give too little to the Lord. And I'm not talking here financially. This is not a sermon about giving financially. This is a sermon about giving devotionally, giving our lives. We can give too little to the Lord. But I believe we can never give too much to him. We can never give too much to the Lord. Society is taken up with self today. Taken up with how we can better ourselves, how we can improve ourselves. And sadly, that has meant that we live in a very selfish society. And that mindset works its way into the church, and we become very selfish, very self-centered, looking out for number one, doing what suits when it suits. Not giving all of our time, not giving all of our talents to the Lord, but only giving that which is left. Does it cost us to serve the Lord today? Are we really serving him with our all? Are we really giving the Lord all that we have? That's exactly what Mary did. She gave all that she had to the Lord. Her devotion was substantial. She didn't count the cost. It was also sacrificial because she poured the ointment on the Lord's head. She just didn't take a wee dab of a finger and put it in the head of the Lord. She gave sacrificially and she gave her all. She gave generously to the Lord. Because you see, folks, when you don't count the cost, and when the Lord is number one in your life, then you will give sacrificially. The Lord is no man's debtor. You never lose by giving sacrificially to the Lord. In fact, I would say today that it is no sacrifice to give to the Lord. Because He has given us all that we have. All our possessions, all our health, all that we have today comes from the hand of a giving master. So what we do when we give back to the Lord is just giving back to Him what He has given to us. Does our Christian life and service involve sacrifice? Does it? J.C. Ryle said that a religion that costs nothing is worth nothing. And on that basis, Mary's devotion counted for everything because it was sacrificial, it was substantial, and she held nothing back. You see, Mary didn't give the fragments. Mary gave to the Lord fully. Her sacrifice speaks volumes to us today. Her sacrifice speaks to us today that it shows her worthlessness and it shows the worthiness of Christ. It speaks about the low value that she placed upon herself and upon her possessions and the high value that she placed on the Lord. Her act of devotion here in Mark's Gospel chapter 14 speaks to us of her commitment and her consecration to the service of the Master. I wonder today, what does our sacrifice speak about our love for the Lord? The sacrifice of our time, the sacrifice of our talents. What does it say about our love for the Lord? Too often we want to serve the Lord when it's convenient. And too often we'll just work for the Lord when it fits in with our schedule. Maybe we're like that lad who called up his girlfriend one day and he said, "Darling, I love you. Love you so much. Oh, I'd climb the highest mountain for you. I'd swim the deepest river for you. And dear, I'd fight a jungle of lions for you." And then he said, "If it doesn't rain tonight, I'll be over to see you." Too often our love and our service is conditional when the conditions are right. And we love Him when it's convenient and when it's suitable. When we've taken care of ourselves, then we'll see what we can do for the Lord. The problem is, when we've taken care of ourselves, sometimes there's nothing left for the Lord. We love Him. And loving doesn't get in the way of what we want to do. We'll serve Him when serving Him doesn't conflict with our plans and our ambitions and our desires in life. We love Him to a point. If we're honest. We love Him to a point. But can we say, like Mary, we love Him with this reckless devotion, giving Him our all? We live our lives on our own schedule, by our own rules, and say we're living for the Lord. Not so with Mary. It cost her. And folks, it will cost to serve the Lord. It will cost time. It will cost us time through the week to come and serve Him and do what we can for Him. Cost Him time. Time set aside to meet with the Lord. Time set aside during the week to be involved in the activities of the work of God, it will cost. Does it cost you to serve Him? The cost of this devotion. I want you to see as well the consequences of this devotion. And I just want to very quickly leave this thought with you. It just came to me. very late on, but John chapter 12 is the same account of this experience here in Simon the leper's house. But I want you to see, just very quickly in passing here, the consequences of this devotion. In John chapter 12, at the end of verse 3, we have the account of Mary. She's named there in verse 3. Taking the ointment, anointing the feet of Christ, wiped his feet with her hair. So she obviously didn't only anoint his head, but also his feet. But here's the phrase I want you to see at the end of verse 3. And the house was filled with the odor of the anointment. The house was filled with the odor of the ointment. There was a fragrance. It was a sweet-smelling fragrance. And there was also a filling. You see, when Mary took that box of expensive ointment, and when she poured it on the head of Christ, and when she used it to anoint the Lord, others were affected by it. And affected by it for good. There was a sweetness and there was a pleasantness about this act of devotion that affected others. You see, when our lives are wholly, totally given over to the Lord, there will be a sweetness and a fragrance about our lives that will affect others, that will influence others. There was a sweetness and there was a pleasantness here to Mary's actions. There was a fragrance, there was a filling. But there was also favor, because if you come back to Mark's Gospel chapter 14 and the verse 6, look what it says at the end of verse 6, Mark's Gospel chapter 14 and the verse number 6. Notice another consequence of this devotion. It says, she hath wrought a good work on me. This is the Lord himself speaking. She hath wrought a good work on me. You see, this substantial, sacrificial act of devotion and love for the Lord wrought the favor of the Lord. Now we'll see in a moment the rebuke she experienced, but here we see the respect she was given. She was honored by the Lord. Oh, man will chide, man will criticize, but what is man? Folks, when we seek to do right by God and we seek to honor him with our lives, that will create and stir up the animosity of man. But who cares what man says about us? If we're living our lives right before God and doing what we can for him and living as much as we can for him, it will gain the favor of God. We seek his well done, not the well done of man. If Mary was trying to please the disciples, she would just have sat there quiet as a mouse and not have done anything. But Mary wasn't interested in the accolades of man. Mary was interested in the praise of her Savior, seeking to honor him, seeking to glorify him. And that is exactly what happened. And the Lord says, she hath wrought a good work on me. Does our service, does our Christian lives, does it seek to honor God or please man? When you honor God in your life and by your living, as we pointed out in the past, you will be assured that you will not always get the slap on the back from fellow man. At times you'll get the stab in the back, but so be it. When we live our lives right before God, it's his honor, it's his glory, and it's his adoration that we seek. She hath wrought a good work in me. As we think over our lives, even over our recent Christian lives, and we think of what we've tried to do for the Lord and how we've lived for the Lord, can the Lord say of you and can the Lord say of me? they have wrought a good work in me. By their actions, by their attitudes, by their affections, they have glorified the Lord. It's quite a challenge. But I want you to see as well now the criticism of this devotion. Because here's the negative effect of this devotion. Mary was criticized for what she did. And I believe this criticism is made all the worse because it is done as a result of the Lord being honored and the Lord being pointed out. And as we have said, when Christ is exalted, the enemy will see to it that the work is attacked. And the enemy will use even those who profess the name of Christ to do the devil's work. That's a reality. And the old serpent will raise its ugly head and will use cold, carnal Christians to attack those who are serving and loving the Lord. Look at the words of verse 4. Why was this waste of ointment made? Oh, what a waste, Mary. These cold followers of the Lord saw Mary's actions as a waste. There's a lot to commend the disciples. And their study individually is a wonderful study. But you've got to remember they're only men. Men at the best. And they see Mary's actions as a waste. It says a lot about their hearts, doesn't it? In fact, you read there in verse 4 that they had indignation. They were angry. The things that we get angry with says a lot about the state of our heart. It does. And sadly, there was a chorus of anger. Verse 4 says, and there were some that had indignation within themselves. Others joined in this criticism. You see, when one catches a spiritual cold, then others catch it as well. And when one backslides, it becomes contagious and coldness of heart quickly spreads. But at the heart of this criticism was an unveiling of the hearts of the critics. They did not have a heart like Mary had. They did not have a love and a devotion and a desire for Christ as Mary had. You see, in verse number five, they believe that this money could have been used and given to the poor. They were more concerned with the temporal than they were with the spiritual. They were more concerned about the things of this world than they were with the things of God. And what they did there was they sought to misrepresent and misinterpret and twist Mary's devotion and love. Oh, they wanted to take the moral high ground. In reality, they showed contempt and envy. They were jealous. They were self-centered. And in verse number 5, we read that they murmured against her. Well, they talked about Mary. You can picture the scene, can't you? The hands up and the faces. And they're talking about Mary. You see your woman. She's just wasted all her precious ointment there on the Lord. You can only imagine the conversation that was going on there. This idle chit-chat, backbiting and gossip. How low a cold, carnal heart can get. Is it any wonder that the wise man says in Proverbs 4 and 23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Matthew says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. That's why I say we go back to what we said. Their criticism reveals the state of their heart. Why they were getting angry reveals their state of their heart. That's why we got to always, dear believer, guard our hearts. Watch our hearts. Because quickly the state of our heart will be reflected in our attitudes and in our associations. Oh, it's the easiest thing in the world to be a critic. It's the easiest thing in the world to be a bystander on the sidelines. Anybody can do that. And any fool can point out what's wrong in everybody else's life. And that's what they were doing here. Mary, you're silly. Mary, what a waste. Any fool can do that. But they didn't do what Mary did because they didn't have a heart like Mary. Oh God, give us a broken, tender heart after Christ. God, give us a greater love and desire to worship and to serve Him. God forbid that we should be cold, carnal critics, criticizing everybody, and those in the work of God, and well, if I was doing that, I wouldn't do it that way. The problem is those people never do anything. We need to look into our hearts. We need to guard our own hearts. I didn't plan to say this, but while we were in Spain, in our last study, we were looking at Jonah chapter 4. Jonah got angry with God. That anger took him to a very low place. Folks, never get angry with God. Never get angry with others. Yes, people hurt and all the rest, we understand that. But we allow those things to fester in our heart and life, there's no knowing where those things will take us. The criticism of this devotion. But finally, as we close, notice the commendation. Look at verse 6 again. Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work in me." In verse 8, "She hath done what she could." Mary did what she did for the Lord. Folks, if we have that commendation written over our lives, I think we'll be happy. "Let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work in me." Verse 8, "She hath done what she could." Verse 6 there, that word "good." In other places is translated "beautiful." The disciples saw Mary's actions as a waste. The Lord saw it as something beautiful, something blessed. He rebuked their self-centeredness. You know, folks, a beautiful life is a life that is taken up with service and devotion to the Lord. That's a beautiful life. That's a beautiful Christian. One who loves the Lord with all their hearts and with all that they are. He rebuked as well their sympathy in verse number 7. He says, "You have the poor with you always." Oh, he's not saying that we should not help the less well off as we have opportunity to do so. But he's saying here their sympathy was insincere. They could have used their own money and given it to charity. The Lord reminds them and reminds us today that it's only what's done for the Lord that really lasts. It's only what's done for Him that really counts in the eyes of Almighty God. And we need to be like Mary and seize and take every opportunity to live and to work and to witness for the Lord. We live in a society today where the day is getting ever darker and it's getting ever more difficult to be a Christian. But we need to seize every opportunity as God gives us to serve Him and to love Him and to do what we can for Him. He commended Mary for her sacrifice and for her selflessness. Look at verse 8. "She hath done what she could." She hath done what she could. I wonder, could that be said of your life? Could that be said of my life? There was a lot of things Mary couldn't do. Mary couldn't cross the oceans and the heathen lands, explore. Mary couldn't speak like angels or preach like Paul. But what Mary could do, she did. She didn't allow her or the other's seeming littleness in the work of God to hold her back from doing what she can. Dear folks, we cannot do everything, but that which we must do, we must do. And it might seem as little and small in the eyes of others. And our service for God might be small and insignificant. But as long as we make sure that we do what we can, and we're doing all that we can, that we're living our lives to the full potential that Christ intended us to live. My duty, your duty, is to do all that we can for Him. To put our hearts and souls into all that we do. One of these days, my life of service will be over. And one of these days, I'll preach my last sermon, I'll pray my last prayer. And one of these days, our last act of service will come to an end. And will it be said of us, as it was said of Mary, he or she did what she could? Or are we holding back from God? Are we not allowing the Lord to have free course in our lives? Are we holding something back from Him? Are we giving to the Lord that which is left over? My friend, today, don't hold back from giving to the Lord. Don't hold back from serving the Lord and doing what you can for Him. We must work the works of Him that sent us. For the night cometh when no man can work. Mary did what she could. She showered her love and her devotion in the Lord. Are we doing what we can? As we face out into a busy season of work in the work of God in our congregation here, is there more that we can be doing, more that we should be doing? Ought we to be more faithful in the work of God and seeking to use every opportunity and seize every opportunity to serve and work for Him? As we think of Mary today, how do we measure up? Are we wasting our lives on things that really don't matter at all? Or are we seeking to do what we can, not counting the cost? Is there someone today you're wasting your life, but you're wasting your life serving it in sin? Wasting your life serving it for the devil and the things of this world? My friend, that is a waste. And you're going headlong towards a lost eternity, and what a waste. Oh, that today you'd come to Jesus Christ and be saved. He'll give you life and life more abundant. But for those that are saved, it is never a waste to give all that we have to the Lord. It's never a waste to serve the Lord with all of our beings. In fact, it is our reasonable service. It is what the Lord requires of us. It is our duty in the light of all that He has done for us. May we not count the cost, but may we seek to follow the Lord and give to Him, our Lord. We've only one life on this earth. It's going to be over soon. And it's only what's done for Jesus will last. Let's not waste our lives laboring for the things of this old world. But let's serve the Lord with all that we have. Rededicate our lives afresh to Him. And like Isaiah say, here am I, Lord. Send me, use me, do with my life as you see fit.